Hello, and welcome to another episode of Banking on Information. Today, my guest is Om Kundu, who is a founder and CEO of SaveAway. Welcome to the podcast, Om.
Super excited to be here. Thank you for having us, Rutger.
Now, we always start with that very important question that I ask everyone, which is, why, Om, do you do what you do?
Much like the millions before me, perhaps yourself included, I think a lot of us came to the USFA sharing the conviction that no goal is out of reach if you set your mind to it. Having spent more than a couple of decades in the intersection of financial services and technology, what I've increasingly found is that a lot of goals are, in fact, out of reach. And what is infinitely worse is a lot of goals put people in the slippery slope, you know. And I think in the case of financial solutions, you know, cause them to go down the slippery slope of credit becoming debt. People don't necessarily reach their goals, not because they don't have goals, but more so because their systems are failing. And I increasingly find that is among the reasons why we as a nation are in more than $1 trillion, pushing $1.3 trillion in debt. For me, who's kind of shared the conviction that any goal that you really put your mind to, that you consider achievable, you should be able to have access to systems that allow you to get there. And SaveAway, in ways more than one, I think is that solution. It's helping people get to their goals, in this specific case, their purchase goals, in a way that is sustainable and in a way that does not compromise their financial wellness.
So your why is that you want to support people to achieve their goals, but you're also wary of people falling into the pitfall of too much debt. So you're trying to say, hey, how can we do this differently? And that is what you're very passionate about. And that's why you started SaveAway.
I've seen, myself included, people not having access to credit and or being misinformed about credit, either because they're immigrants or they're using credit in instances where they shouldn't be. And they're not getting access to the proper level of literacy. In fact, the opposite is true, being given misinformation, right? So I think it's born out of those shared experiences. And what I find as a gaping hole within the current financial services ecosystem, you know, cultivating good habits doesn't happen automatically. And I think the people that are the most vulnerable often have the hardest times and have the most need for it. And I haven't quite seen a solution helping people cultivate those better financial wellness habits as the pathway of reaching their ambitious goals. And that's really what the movement around SaveAway is all about.
Now, tell us what is the use case, or how does it work? How does SaveAway work in easy terms?
So what we're doing here with SaveAway is providing buyers and sellers access to our proprietary platform, where you can go on the site. If you go to saveaway.net/try it, you can get access to it and join the pioneers that already have. And from there, we've actually integrated with a number of different merchandise categories, everything from outerwear to health and wellness to home improvement, consumer electronics, popular categories that are typically larger ticket. And so you go ahead and you have the option of creating a wish list and sharing that with your community. Our tool makes it very easy for you to share. And in the process, friends and family can chime in, hey, don't buy this one, buy that instead. And that's not something that you can typically do in any other commerce site. You can get access to a lot of reviews, but the context that's missing in those reviews is people might know the product really well, but they know nothing about you. And so what a product that may be eminently appropriate for Rutger may not be for Om. And so we're providing that missing context in commerce. And in the process, people are empowered with the option of making more informed purchase decisions. And not only that, it's actually helping them kind of get the momentum, if you will, the opposite of the typical inertia, so that they can auto-save. We make it as easy as 1, 2, 3 to connect it to your source of funds, auto-save in every time period of your choice, during the duration that you save away. And as soon as you do, multiplied by any chipping in from friends and family and any offers that, again, we make it very easy for you to find through our app, you're able to get to the goal and within the time frame that you choose, see what you aspire to in your hands. And the nice thing about that is that it's providing dual pain relief. And most importantly, I think it's giving sellers the opportunity to see people that would have otherwise walked away teary-eyed, abandoning carts, be able to still convert. So I think that's what makes this dually powerful economic engine of growth.
So practically, instead of how buy now, pay later is buying something for $100 and then breaking it up in $25 increments, you're basically saying, hey, I have the goal to buy this $100 item and I'm going to save for it in $25 increments. And then after 4 installments or 4 partial saves, I now have the money to actually pay for it. So you don't go in debt, you actually save up for the product that you aspire to buy. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, in fairness to all the burrito CDOs that have become social media memes, I think a big part of what I feel is lack of adequate disclosure, if not outright misinformation, is when these solutions that are talking about paying installments, what they are not adequately disclosing at all to the customer, to the buyer, is that you're taking out a loan to pay for that burrito or whatever it is that you're buying, right? So just keep in mind that when you're using buy now, pay later, you're essentially taking on a loan for the product. And in a lot of instances, you know, it may make sense to take out a loan. But I feel in a lot of instances, it's also the case that a loan may not be necessary. You may have the wherewithal by saving away to be able to buy it. And again, you know, I think we're very complimentary in that respect, right? If you are, as I once was, an immigrant to this country without a credit file or don't have credit, then, you know, those solutions aren't going to do you any good. That's when I think we can provide you the recourse to see your, dream goal come true. If you're a younger person that's in school, again, you haven't built up a credit history, we can drive conversions in a lot of those instances. And so I think we can open up a wholly new channel of sales and revenues for sellers in the process.
I think you're right. Like, there's a lot of buy now, pay later options out there. Sometimes, like, when you go to a website, it's like 6, 7, 8, 9 different ones. I have yet to see something like this. So in that sense, you are offering something that is completely new. Now, how do the customers talk about the experience and how do they tell you they get value out of it?
Yeah, that's an awesome question, because nothing that I say is as important as the people that are using it really recognizing its superpower. And I think being able to say that, you know, the tool and the platform that we're providing is helping people that otherwise wouldn't have reached their goals be able to reach their goals, I think means the world. And that's precisely what a lot of people are saying. I think we're, to your point, people that are actually using the platform are actually loving it. It's a social by design. So every active user is inviting twice as many. So without really any discernible promotion, a lot of people have kind of self-selected themselves because they got invited by their friends and fam to using the platform. I think for the profile of buyers that I talked about, people that for any number of reasons don't have credit or don't want to use credit for a specific purchase that's important to them, I think not only are they realizing its superpower, but they're actually loving it. And it's always a really awesome moment for us to actually go through that entire life cycle and see that awesome keyboard that I think was the last thing we shipped, actually in the hands of the user, right? The journey matters perhaps even more so than the destination. And I think one of the exciting things here is we're making that path to purchase one that is really awesome, one that is shared with your friends and family. And I think that's what keeps it really authentic and really brings out the joy.
Now, I like to do this thing called futures thinking. Now, we both don't know what the future is going to bring, not even tomorrow. But what we're going to do, we're going to think 10 years out. So think yourself in the year 2035. Does buy now, pay later, save away? What does consumer spending, borrowing look like 10 years from now?
There are people infinitely more prominent than me that have talked about how we are chancing upon the age of abundance. And to use that quote of the future is already here. It's not just evenly distributed. I think if there is, in fact, an age of abundance, we should have what people call UBI, right? So that as people take on ambitious pursuits, they also have fallback options. And I think within that scheme, I think it's very important to make sure that people that have access or don't have access have the ability to see their goals fulfilled. And I think a platform like Save Away becomes even more important. And unlike, you know, credit, which I guess you could argue is transactional, you know, it's based on the basic premise of IOUs. Our platform is based on the virtue of paying it forward and really making that ubiquitous. So I think a world where we are actually paying it forward in terms of the abundance we are fortunate to receive is creating the appropriate systems that is allowing the best of us, as much as the quote-unquote rest of us, to get to their goals and their dreams. Over the coming decades, I think a platform where you're not just transactionally looking at the rearview mirror and being thrown offers is going to be as important as allowing people to open up the windshield, select the goal that they'd like to drive towards.
So 10 years from now, we're seeing more of a balanced approach between credit and maybe something like Save Away. There might be a UBI, so universal basic income. We'll see that there's more structures for people to think about purchasing things, and there's probably more literacy is what I hear you say. What can people do today to get ready for that future?
Becoming more intelligent, becoming more autonomous doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to exercise our faculties and our physiological muscles, our mental acuity equally. In fact, there's always that risk that the opposite is the case. And so when we talk about AGI, I think we need to think equally about what will not just in a cosmetic way provide an AI companion to people, but will actually help them sharpen their own mental pencils, if you will, and live to realize not only the full potential of machines, but live to realize the full potential of humans. So that's the most important thing I feel is making human agency manifest. The plan for the future is built with the seed that you plant today. And I think if we can do the right thing to help cultivate human agency at the same time as we are machine intelligence, then I think we can co-evolve. And as we travel far beyond the pale blue dot, do so in a way that is sustainable.
Good. Well, maybe that's a good point to wrap this up on. Thank you very much, Om, for being on the podcast. And until next time, choose to be curious.